We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
You know, being Cajun, I'm very proud of being Cajun. My grandparents didn't speak English, and my mother and father spoke Cajun French at the table. And then when they wanted to talk about me, they spoke Cajun French, so I learned Cajun French. And so I'm excited to be at LSU at home, where we're proud of our Cajun heritage. We're proud of Louisiana. I just feel at home here. People that made fun of my accent before, I thank them. That gave me internal motivation to do better. So I thank them to be motivators of my career.
Coach Sweeney?
Well,
I'll tell you one quick story. Eddie Ogeron, you know, Ed's from Donner. He's a Cajun. Get him up here and talk to the team.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Oh, I know Eddie Ogeron. He's a Cajun. You know.
Of course Wani knows him. Wani knows everybody.
Oh,
that's what I've come to conclude of Wani.
I imagine he was like a pig, and you know what, over the weekend at that young coaches convention, guys who are just getting their feet wet, just dabbling into the industry, as he was hosting seminars, including with some of his former players who have decided they want to enter there, throw their hat in the ring as coaches.
Yeah, I feel bad for those guys that are getting their feet wet, because you know what, if anything about me, I hate when my feet wet.
You always have said that. Yes, LSU on Bovada right now, a 6-point favorite tonight.
That's gone down a full point in the last 36 or so hours on Bovada.
Bovada also has the Tigers, the number one team in the country, minus 210 on the money line. Clemson is plus 175. On the money line, and they have a total of 67 in the game, as we bring in Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, who covers college football, among other things, and he has been known on occasion to pick a game or two. I don't think he ever actually wagers on these sort of things, but I read his stories about point spreads in college football season. Hello, Teddy G.
What's up, Danny Mack and Nipshit Nick Shepkowski? How you guys doing, Nip?
Good. That Nip, was very, Nick gets all the same.
That was very Doug Buffonian. Very nice.
That's what I'm striving for, one for one so far in this interview.
Which team wins tonight? Which team do you like?
I like LSU. You know, if you are dying to bet the Tigers, I think I'd go money line, although, my God, anytime you're dealing with like a minus 210 situation, that's probably not long-term profits. I think it's going to be close. If you are laying 6.5 points, something like that, to Dabo Swinney and Trevor Lawrence, a team that's won 29 straight, I mean, there's a lot of danger in that. So I'm thinking it's LSU 41, Clemson 34. I covered the Clemson-Ohio State game. I think Ohio State really exposed some stuff. In Clemson, Ohio State should have won the game. If one of like four things happens or doesn't happen, the Buckeyes are in the championship. So I think LSU is better. But laying more than a field goal to Clemson would be a little scary to me.
How confident are you in Clemson being able to put sustained drives together? Because LSU doesn't allow huge plays for the most part, and it's kind of what Clemson, even that Ohio State game, was built on.
Yeah, Chef. I mean, for the first two-thirds of the season, you thought LSU was just pure offense. And, you know, if they were going to win games late in the season, it was going to be 47-37, et cetera. Then, you know, they kind of figured something out late, had some good moments defensively against LSU and then against Alabama, rather. And then that Oklahoma game was like, oh, my God. So, I mean, part of it is, you know, some prominent LSU players got healthy, like safety Grant Delpit. So that's been huge. You know, what Oklahoma did in that game against LSU, that was Oklahoma's worst offensive performance since 2013. So I think this defense is peaking. And, I think Clemson is going to score points, but not enough to win.
Yeah, it's part of it for me, too. Grant Delpit gets the Thorpe Award. And am I crazy in thinking he might be the third best defensive back in that secondary, at least this year?
You know, there's so much talent. I mean, LSU has had great talent in terms of the DBs and wide receivers for so many years, and now they're just making use of them, right? I mean, it was such an underachieving program for so long. Either they had quarterback issues or a goofy coach and Les Miles or just some kind of problem that was holding them back, and now it's the complete package. I mean, now you got this coordinator, you know, this passing game guy, and Joe Brady, who's this, you know, sort of nerdy-looking 30-year-old guy who seems to be revolutionizing football, and Joe Burrow, who, I mean, he plays like an offensive coordinator. I mean, he keeps plays alive like Deshaun Watson, like Pat Mahomes, and he scrambles around and he finds open guys. So he is, you know, he feels like a 25-year-old guy playing college football, and I think he's close to that. I think he's probably 23, I believe. Yeah, and that's what it feels like. He is brilliant at dissecting. I think he takes one class at LSU, and it's an online class, so he's not exactly – you know, distracted by macroeconomics.
Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, going to be the first player chosen in this coming NFL draft. And Trevor Lawrence probably going to be the first player selected in next year's draft. I think this has the potential to set record ratings tonight because of those factors. Those are among the factors. I think that's a possibility. Fill in the blank for me, both of you college football fans here, Teddy G and Shep. This is the most compelling quarterback matchup in a title game since... Maybe you don't have to go back as far as I'm thinking. But
last year, yeah, where it was probably going to be had Tua not gotten hurt and been the number one overall pick.
It's pretty much every year these last few years, right?
It's changed. It feels like it's changed, and Teddy can probably speak to it better.
The days of like Matt Flynn and Matt Mock, you know, getting to the national title game. I mean, those days seem to be over. Right now it's teams that are complete packages. I mean, I remember when, and Shep, you remember this too. I mean, when Alabama gets Jalen Hurts, and then when Tua comes off the bench to win that national title game, the thought was, oh my God, the rest of college football is screwed, because Alabama's always been great except at quarterback. You know, they really hadn't had many prominent guys, but guess what? Other teams had great quarterbacks too. Trevor Lawrence, I'm sure you guys saw him against Ohio State. I mean, incredibly unflappable, you know, scrambles well, very good on design rushes, and tough. I mean, when Sean Wade comes in there, you know, and bangs him, for a minute there, it looks like just the game is over. It looks like Trevor Lawrence is out and he's going to get carted off the field. And he not only comes back, but Clemson obviously had a great offensive performance in the final, two-thirds of that game.
Yeah, they dominate that part. How dangerous is Travis Etienne, running back for Clemson? He didn't put up big yardage whatsoever in the run game against Ohio State. It was completely contained, yet they get him the ball through the air three times, and he has two of the biggest plays of the night, including the game-winning touchdown. What does LSU, how do they kind of match up to slow him down?
Yeah, if J.K. Dobbins had had Travis Etienne's hands, we wouldn't be talking about Clemson in the title game. J.K. just had to hang on to one of those touchdown passes. But, yeah, Travis is kind of that modern back where, you know, can beat you all sorts of different ways. And I think running backs, that's what's happened. You know, the guys come out now and they want to show that they are also receivers. They don't want to be one-dimensional guys that you can pigeonhole because they're going to get picked lower in the draft. So I remember Ezekiel Elliott and then, the great Wisconsin backs, Jonathan Taylor, is trying to prove that he's a back who can catch the ball, and ATN is certainly that. He's going to be used in a lot of different ways.
Joe Burrow being referred to as a can't-miss prospect. Usually those guys miss. do you see any blemishes in the LSU quarterback's game, Teddy G?
Danny, he does not have great arm strength, and that has been the knock on him. I mean, going into this season, coming off a year where he completed, I think, 57% of his passes, Joe Burrow was regarded as like a fourth or fifth round draft pick. I don't think we've seen somebody rise this quickly, somebody who adds like 20 points to their completion percentage and goes from a second or third day pick to the rock solid number one pick in the NFL draft. As long as you can get over the fact that maybe he can't, you know, hit you that 30 yard outcut, then I think you're fine with him. I mean, when you look at, again, modern-day quarterbacks, the guys who are the most successful, the ones who keep those plays alive and are really accurate and can flick it around the field in different ways, and that is Joe Burrow.
Joe Brady ends up winning the Broyles Award, assistant coach or coordinator of the year, wide receiver coach, passing game coordinator for LSU, was working with the Saints and their coaching staff the year previous. He's, yep. Mac, you'll love him. He looks like Eli Hershkovich. If Eli took a career in football, he would probably be Joe Brady. Looks much like him. What's next for him? Does he stay in that position? I saw he signs the extension, but it's not like he got a massive raise. Is it head coach? Is he the next, like, Lincoln Riley in the
making?
I leave
at the end of the month.
You know, Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports did a good piece on him, and he said Joe Brady was really coy and really deflected any kind of credit. When people asked him, you know, who all is in touch with him, whether it's, you know, the likes of Notre Dame, which might need an offensive coordinator, or the NFL, he said, I've not been contacted by anybody. Whoever his agent is, I hope it's Brian Harlan. Whoever that lucky guy is going to get rich, because this guy is going to go from an unknown to a $2 million a year coordinator in college, or maybe more in the pros. So, you know, it's been the perfect marriage of a quarterback and a passing game coordinator this year. Combine that with great talent all over the field and receivers. And that's why I think LSU is the pick. I wouldn't feel great about minus six, but it just totally feels like LSU's year to win this.
Do you already regard Dabo as one of the best three of all time?
With what, like Saban, Bear Bryant, and Fitz?
We'll get to Fitz in a second.
Yeah. I'd have to think about that a little bit. If he wins tonight, I think you got to say yes, right? I mean, because not only has he won at a place that 7-8 years ago was, you know, kind of not very well respected. I mean, look at where Florida State is and where Clemson is right now. I mean, they were reversed about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think he's in the conversation, certainly, for top three. And if you just wanted to keep it in the last 50 years, certainly, I think that's a lock. I mean, Bear Bryant, that's many, many
Tom
years
Osborne.
Removed.
What's that? I think you got to get Tom up there, don't you?
Osborne would be up there. Urban Meyer, I mean, love him or hate him.
I'm thinking Urban Meyer's probably
a
part of this.
List.
Yeah, yeah. So Pat Fitzgerald at the pro level. The Panthers had to have a conversation with him, and boy, the money that David Tepper's throwing around there. Wow, at least $60 million 7 years for the former Baylor coach, Matt Rhule. What is in the Packers reportedly were sniffing around as well. What is it about Fitz that's, you know, appealing, in your opinion, to these pro teams?
Yeah, I mean, the Packers thing was real. I'm sure that Fitz could have had that job when you look at, you know, who they hired, Matt LaFleur. And Fitz last year, of course, was coming off a remarkable season. I mean, Big Ten West title and, you know, kind of the heights of his career. Now, the thing with, like, Charlotte this year is – Carolina, I should say, these are the kind of inquiries that Fitz gets every year to Brian Harlan, his agent, and they're just usually ignored. So this year's report, I don't think was anything, you know, prominent or significant, but the one last year was interesting because if Fitz is going to go to any job, it's going to be the Bears. Beyond that, if there's a second job that he would ever go to, you'd say, wow, Green Bay would be interesting because his family could still live in the North Shore. And, you know, he'd be at a team where he wouldn't have to play against Northwestern, but the family decided he was not going to do it last year. Northwestern people were giving him heat after spending $270 million on the Fitz-Carlton, as we like to call it, the lakefront facility. So the timing wasn't good. It wouldn't shock me if one day he goes to the NFL in terms of what his appeal is. I mean, he's very, very well respected, obviously less so after a 3-win season this year. But look, I mean, he's at a school where traditionally people don't win, and he's done it every year until now. So, you know, you say Pat Fitzgerald's name in the NFL or college football, man, and people are impressed.
So you think he has NFL chops, potentially?
I don't think I'd hire him if I'm a team president. I think he's a great college coach. Like, I don't know. I mean, to me, the beauty of Fitz is the fact that he cares so much about kids who are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. You know, I mean, I think that's a huge part of his appeal, the way he's able to motivate. To me, at the NFL level, it's all about X's and O's. And I think if you're an NFL team and you're hiring Fitz, you're leaving out a big part of his skill set. So could he be at a point where he could, you know, only care about X's and O's and be really good at it? Absolutely. I think he's an extremely smart guy and could do it. But I think it would be kind of a waste of his talent, to be honest.
Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma is always the name that pops up of, oh, yeah, he's going to be linked to Dallas, going to be linked to wherever. who are the other, especially X's and O's college coaches that are kind of that next, maybe next offseason are the ones that are looked at and thought of? They'll make the jump. They'd make it as a professional and NFL head coach.
Shep, I think the really interesting debate is Urban Meyer. That's the fascinating one because he does love ball. I mean, he really is X's and O's, and he could – you've seen it now on these Fox Sports shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, he will sit there for an hour and talk to you about, you know, breaking down certain plays. The problem with Urban is he takes losing so badly. I mean, one or two losses a year at Ohio State, I mean, I don't want to say nearly killed him, but, I mean, he has – serious issues. I mean, he has a cyst in his brain that is serious and caused serious headaches, and it was part of why he had to step away. So is Urban Meyer ever going to want to take a job like, you know, the Cleveland Browns, where if you have a great first season, you go 7-9 or 8-8, and if you have a really an amazing season, you go 11-5? I think that would be a problem. So he would be interesting X's and O's wise, but I think you've got to find a guy, man, whose personality matches the job.
So LSU and under tonight.
Oh, no, I think I went over.
Over. I'm sorry. Yes. My bad. Yeah.
Parlay LSU money line and over if you want to sprinkle some chips.
Okay. And you think this has the potential to be one of the better title games? I do. I got a good feeling. Maybe it's because 3 out of the 4 over the weekend were really, really good. The Vikings-Niners game over the weekend was really the only dud of the bunch. And for a while, it was interesting. Maybe I'm just hopeful. I want to be entertained for 4 hours because that's what it takes for one of these college title games.
Amen. I mean, look, that game, the Ohio State-Clemson game, was truly entertaining. And there were 4 different plays Ohio State would have won that thing. If Sean Wade comes in with his head up a little bit, or if Chris Olave didn't break off his route on that last play, it came right down to the end, and hopefully we'll get an all-time classic tonight, too.
Yeah. Teddy G, thanks a bunch. Have a great night.
Loved it, guys. Take care.
See you. Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune joining us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. LSU, either a 5.5, a 6, or a 6.5 point favorite tonight over Clemson. A
couple players in this game that I think that you're going to take a liking to quite a bit. I know we've talked about throughout the playoffs and throughout the NFL season of, God, you miss those safeties that just come off and knock your head off. Run somebody into the ground and deliver a blow. Grant Delpit, the safety for LSU, probably before he got hurt, some people were talking him up to maybe be a top 10-ish type pick. Not quite the ability of a Sean Taylor, but some people threw a name like that around.
Grant Delpit?
Grant Delpit is probably going to be a first-round pick next year. You may enjoy watching him. And then on the other side of the ball for Clemson, Isaiah Simmons is a name you want to become familiar with. He's kind of the... He Mr. Do Everything. Technically, I guess when you look him up on the Clemson website, it says linebacker next to him. The guy plays everywhere. Line up at defensive end. Mm-hmm. He'll line up on the outside linebacker for you. He'll line up as a safety. He'll take on guys one-on-one in coverage, traditionally like a corner would. He plays all over, Swiss Army knife of a defense, and he's a fantastic athlete as well. So a couple of guys for you to keep an eye on this evening and potentially... And potentially develop your next little man crush.
I'm always looking for a man. Grant Delpit is 6'3", 203. He's kind of wiry for a safety.
Yeah, a little bit thin on that part, and probably maybe it's part of the reason that he was dinged up for a good chunk of this season. But I think that the Thorpe Award that he won this year was more reputation-based than it was for what he offered this season.
Yeah.
Still a very good player when healthy. He wasn't healthy for 2 months of a 3-month season, so I thought that was limiting. Derek Stingley Jr., a person to keep an eye on, two in their secondary. He's only a freshman. Led all of the SEC in interceptions. True freshman, 18-year-old kid, a consensus All-American this year.
Grant Delpit, good old number 7. Born in New Orleans in 1998.
It makes you feel, yeah, I know. Right?
Root for this guy. You'll want the Bears to draft him. When was he born? 1998.
Yeah, he's not going to be around when the Bears are drafting. Let's not kid ourselves.
Hey, maybe Ryan Pace falls in love and moves up to get him.
It's...
Yeah, you and I are in lockstep on liking safeties who bring the heat. And when we say that, we're not advocating launching into a guy and drawing a personal foul or striking a player with your helmet, striking a player in the helmet. We're talking about the physical play that used to be so largely associated with that position, but it seems to be lost. So I will look for 7 in Tigers colors tonight to see if that's the case. Justin Reed of the Texans,
yes,
just lit up Tyreek Hill yesterday. Late first quarter of the Chiefs and Texans. Man, I didn't think Tyreek Hill was going to play the rest of the day. He looked wobbly, and I saw you on social media celebrating that.
Yeah, it's one of those...
Bad people deserve bad things, don't they, Shep?
It doesn't break my heart when I see that happen to Tyreek Hill yesterday.
I have to confess, I have same reactions.
It's not one of those of like, oh, man, shucks. Right. Really hate to see that. Or, I mean, it'll sound bad too, and Addison Russell gets hit by a pitch and is in pain. Poor guy, I really feel for you right now. I'd be lying if I said I did.
I think a very high percentage of people, when they saw Addison Russell get hit in the face this year, had the very same reaction.
I bet
way more than half.
I'm not saying I'm proud of that's the way it makes me feel, but it is. I see Tyreek Hill get blasted yesterday, and I think, what a shame.
That was a fantastic hit. It's like 21-0. I think it was
it was still
second down, and he separated him from the ball. He did it completely legally and got very excited about it, and I didn't see much of him the rest of the day, but I don't know where that's at in the game today. You can be physical like that and not have to put yourself in harm's way with the referees.
Well, is part of it, though, just because of how it's called? And we sit and we
watch.
That's
what everybody keeps saying.
We watch replays, and we'll sit and say, that looks like a legal hit. There's no ill intent there. There's a receiver or a ball carrier lowers their head, and you still see the flag thrown. You still see the 15 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You still see the unnecessary roughness. So is part of it just the fear of a potential flag being thrown? And
that's what the NFL people, Solomon Wilcots, told us that last week. He played safety in the league for 5 or 6 years. I think Wani has said that. I'm pretty sure I asked Dave about it at some point.
Is that the simple answer?
Yeah. I think guys are afraid of being fined. I don't know if I buy that, though. I think guys are out to protect themselves more. I think the mentality is more one where, if I can get this guy on the ground without risks, risk fracturing my clavicle by decking him, I'll do it that way.
Yeah.
Lots of hand tackling, shoving guys out of bounds. And I get just when the ball is arriving, as it did with Tyreek Hill and Justin Reed, just times it so beautifully and separates man from ball.
And
it
then
was beautiful.
The flip thing that Tyreek Hill did, too, was very satisfying, if you will. Just the, like, get up and kind of fall back over and roll type deal. Like, it was satisfying to see, even if the Chiefs came back and put up a 50 spot on Houston.
Yeah, they went on a 51-7 run in a football game. Shep is in for Parkins. I'm Mac. More NFL chatter, some baseball around the corner as well. It's McNeil and Parkins on Sports Radio 670.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Gore.
You know, we'll enjoy this one tonight, and we'll get on to San Francisco and... They're a great football team. They've had a fantastic year. You know, I think there's the two best teams in the NFC, and we're going to have to go out there and get a win.
Absolutely. Obviously, the matchup in late November didn't go the way you wanted. You're the king of mottos. Do you have one heading into the NFC Championship against San Francisco? What do you got? Come on.
I'm just going to enjoy a nice glass of scotch tonight and get onto the film, San Fran, and get ready for a tough opponent.
All right, old man. I can joke with you about that. Congrats.
Thanks.
Aaron Andrews, America's friend, with Aaron Rodgers yesterday evening after the Packers put the Seahawks to bed on Fox.
Two Aarons, wow.
Yes, there were two Aarons, wow.
Spelled differently, don't know if it still counts, but there nonetheless.
Were they romantically linked at one point?
I seem to
remember a romantic link between the dueling Aarons years ago.
There was another reporter, but it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're former ESPN, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Was looking for something on a certain night.
All right. I'm sorry I brought it up. Stupid.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to enjoy a nice glass of scotch tonight.
Just have scotch, because that represents the people of Wisconsin, doesn't it? A glass of scotch.
That's right. Yeah. It's
maybe
not,
an 18-year-old McAllen. Everybody up in Manitowoc, that's what they drink.
Yeah, sure, it's not a Lineys, it's not a Miller Lite sitting there for Aaron Rodgers. He's going into the scotch cabinet.
Packers game was a fun game. After that first game, though, I didn't need a roller coaster for 3 hours or 3+ hours after that first game yesterday. I was exhausted from that Chiefs victory.
See?
It took something out of me, and it had very little going on it, but just from a theater standpoint, I was whipped.
I guess by the end of midway through the third quarter, I thought that game was over. It was absurd that you go down 24, you come back, you're leading at halftime, but it felt like, for all intents and purposes, that was done and to be forgotten about. I didn't have any belief in the second half that Houston was going to win that game.
No, I didn't think so either.
So it didn't feel like it was emotionally or just even curiosity of who's going to win this thing. I didn't feel that much invested in it the last half hour of it.
Shep, because the disparity end was so great, I can't call it one of the greatest playoff games I've ever seen, but I don't know if I've seen a more bizarre playoff game than that one.
That's probably fair.
It's just and the way it went down too, and coaches' decisions swinging in the outcome, and special teams touchdowns, the double thud that goes for a touchdown. That's what I talk about when I try to convince Parkins, and I think he's finally getting to this, and hopefully Danny's back with us tomorrow. Shep's nice enough to work for him today. That on any given Sunday, as the cliche says, when that snowball starts rolling downhill, and a team that on paper is overmatched, or people think they're overmatched, don't tell the Titans they're overmatched, but when you get an underdog on, you know, with the favorite on the ropes, and you make a special teams play like that blocked punt that goes for a touchdown, that usually is very, very difficult to turn around. They had last year's MVP that facilitated that for him, did the Chiefs, so they're going to their first conference title game in a while.
They lost last year's.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, right. But it's only second home playoff win, I think, maybe in my lifetime. Second or third playoff win at home in my life.
Yeah, as much as people talk about the home field advantage, Arrowhead in the postseason has been unkind to them.
Yeah, and it looked like yesterday, it sure as heck looked like it was going to start that way. It was I get what you're saying on that, of maybe it's not like your all-time classic finish to it. It ends up being a 20-point game. But I don't remember seeing a game be completely dominated. The Chiefs come out. They can't hold on to the ball to save their lives. They can't receive a punt to save their lives. They can't get a punt off to save their lives. Everything that could go wrong goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And yet somehow they still go to halftime up 4 points with all the momentum in the world.
I know.
Like, I have not, in terms of a game just shifting that quickly, at that level, usually you don't see it. I guess that was the crazy part. It starts to turn a little bit. Not in a 13-minute span or whatever it was, mm-hmm. when it went from being 24-0 to, okay, well, there goes the lead and there goes the season, Houston.
Texter says Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl was bizarre. Yeah, I think so. You've got one more point of lead for Atlanta, which had a 25-point lead in a Super Bowl, so that certainly was a crazy turn of events and had a similar feel. But what made it better theater, I think, yesterday is you weren't playing at a neutral site. You're playing in Arrowhead. And the volume, the decibel level from Chiefs fans yesterday, they didn't stop.
Right.
They were on their feet the entire game making noise. I mean, it was sensory overload.
Yeah, a little bit early on there, you got some boos when it was a 3-score game, got them booed off the field after the punt debacle. I believe there were a bunch of boo birds that came out then. And then as soon as things started to go right, that's a team, that's an organization, it's a fan base that has wanted probably for so long. God, how many, what percentage of Chiefs fans have even seen them play in a Super Bowl? How many of them were around for old number four back in 1970 or 71 when that was played?
Right.
Like, it's a fan base that hasn't seen great success. It's like me with the Bears. I don't have that much of like this. I didn't love them like all craziness when I was a kid, so I don't necessarily love the Bears like that now, but it's the same kind of thing. There's a whole lot of couple generations back to back, maybe three in a row, that have not seen the Chiefs really do anything big time.
Their last Super Bowl appearance, four, is only the second Super Bowl I remember. And I'm going to be 59 this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's how long it has been. And I think fresh meat is great. I think getting some fresh blood. If the Titans are to pull the upset, it's been 20 years since they've been there. I don't think America wants to see the Tennessee Titans.
No, I don't think so either.
I think they want to see Patrick Mahomes. People like points. However,
do people want to see Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
To that same question?
Probably not. They'd probably rather see Aaron Rodgers.
Like, is it? Because I'd rather see the 49ers. I think that's a better game. The 49ers defense matched up against the Chiefs offense, that can be a fascinating game. I would much rather see that.
I don't know if most people, I don't suspect most people value defensive greatness the way you do or the way I do. We enjoy that type of stuff. I did find a guy yesterday late afternoon, however, who does share our fondness for meatball football.
All right.
Yes. I went to the store before the Packers and Seahawks kicked off, and I'm glad I did. So I pop on the score to find out it's right before kickoff, and Kevin Harlan, the very exciting, excitable Kevin Harlan, is at Lambeau Field with his partner James Lofton. Hub Arkish worked the sideline in that game. I was back home by the time they'd thrown it to Hub, but I just love the opening exchange between Kevin and James Lofton, good old number 80.
It's time for the Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers, the final piece of the puzzle. Who will make it, James, in the next weekend? Let's just give me a headline for this game overall before we start talking about quarterbacks and coaches. What's your headline coming into tonight?
My headline, as you've watched the playoffs, is run and stop the run. Take it back to Vince Lombardi. 3 yards in a cloud of dust with Woody Hayes. That's what people want to see because, yeah, we love quarterbacks. But what we're finding in the playoffs, if you can run the ball and you can stop the run, you have a great chance to win ball games.
It's been a great formula so far.
That's what people want to see, says James Lofton.
Welcome to the team, James. Oh, there might be three of us, you, me, and James Lofton, but welcome to the team.
3 yards in a cloud of dust with Woody Hayes.
What?
That's what people want to see.
That's what they want.
Put the ball in the air. You throw the ball. Three things can happen. Two of them are bad, right? Wasn't that the Woody Hayes saying? Can be picked off, can be incomplete.
Yeah.
Maybe you complete the pass, but Two and three chances going the other way.
The opposite of the Matt Nagy approach. Well, when they know you're going to run, you're going to be in fourth and or you're going to be in third and 12.
Yeah, unless you build an offensive line that kicks the crap out of everyone. You draft the running back that's a generational talent and shoves people to the side and laughs at them to 66 yards down the field like Derrick Henry did. Sure, Matt Nagy. Yes, you're guaranteed to lose 2 yards if you put nothing into your run game plan. You are certainly correct.
That's what people want to see. Oh, does that delight me?
Right.
I enjoy it. You know, I'm having a text exchange with two fellow degenerates.
Tidesmen? No,
not tidesmen. I would have to be a tidesman to be a fellow tidesman.
I know,
tidesman.
But I heard fellow, and it's where my mind went.
NFL guys who play the number like I do, and we exchange every Saturday and Sunday morning, I don't know, 50, 75 texts, this, that, the other thing, and both of them early yesterday were on Seattle. One of them wanted to go with the Seahawks on the money line, and I went James Lofton. I said, look, these games, this playoffs, we've had six of them now, and for the most part, every damn one of them yesterday morning has been decided by offensive lines that maul the front seven, big physical running backs who stomp your ass and make you like it, and aggressive defense. And when you looked at the Packers, the way they were matched up against the Seahawks, I thought Green Bay's offensive line would kick the crap out of them. They were missing Bulaga. He missed the game with the flu. The guy who filled in, kind of a skinny guy, didn't do too bad of a job. They kept Rodgers upright for the most part all night. They did a nice job protecting. But where I thought the Packers would have the advantage would be with their pass rush on Russell Wilson. And they chased him around. Za'Darius Smith did get a couple of sacks. Preston Smith also had one. But I thought it was going to be a jailbreak. I thought it was going to be party in the backfield all night, and it wasn't. So while I'm – and those guys, my buddies, wound up coming around to my way of thinking. So I'm glad the Packers stopped the two-point conversion so we all covered the number and nobody was mad at me. Of course, I'm not putting a gun to their head. I'm not making them bet what I bet. But I did use some strong language to try and dissuade them from playing Seattle.
Yeah, I thought yesterday that was the case of, if you want to make the case of, oh, Russell Wilson's your MVP, he played out of his mind. And how many times Green Bay got pressure on him, and you're thinking, okay, this play's about done. Okay, this is going to be a loss of six. Oh, there, scoops away again.
He is a play extender,
he's so accurate on the run, too. I mean, Patrick Mahomes gets all the credit for it because he's got the massive arm that goes with it, and the offense of Kansas City is an exciting and fun thing to watch as there is in the NFL. But God, Russell Wilson, without the same arm strength, he's doing a lot of that same stuff of just, okay, there's no way from some of the angles that he is able to get an accurate pass off that makes sense. And he did it pretty consistently and damn near brought them all the way back to win that game.
What do Packers fans know better than anything, Shep, when the team is going on to play in a big game in San Francisco?
Oh, they get on the plane, they look at the map and the flight finder, and they're like, wow, that's pretty far to San Francisco. That's a lot of ground.
We're traveling across the entire country,
holy
basically.
Cow. Yep,
Packers
I get the same.
Sitting behind me a couple of years ago for the same damn game.
That's in honor of that, we should hop on a plane on Sunday morning and go to the NFC Championship.
I don't want to go to Levi's State. I can't go.
No.
You know, if they're I were going, I thought about going to Kansas City. The Kansas City would be, if I were going to one of the two this weekend, I would go to Kansas City. I've not seen a game at Arrowhead. If I were picking one of these, that's where I'd go.
Mm-hmm. I know it seems like your traditional, like you go for a football fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
I don't get that vibe from a 49ers crowd. Doesn't seem like that, at least on television.
Yeah, it wasn't. And when I was there, they were still at Candlestick Park, which is just a parking lot. You see it on TV yesterday?
Yes.
Haven't done anything with it.
It's
just a parking lot where people can fight. And they do. That's not an easy neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's in the famed Danny Parkins draft of great cities you've never been to in the United States. San Francisco's probably number one on my big board for myself.
You should get there. It's aesthetically as pleasing as they say it is. It's a nice place to go.
Been to Seattle, been to a lot of the West Coast, San Diego, L.A., have not hit up San Francisco or Oakland yet.
Go sometime.
Okay.
You go across the Golden Gate Bridge into Sausalito. You overpay for a piece of fish and a glass of wine. No, that is.
Sausalito.
Let's just stop there. It's just such a great squirt. A little dinner in Sausalito. I ordered Alaskan salmon. Oh, so fresh. Seared salmon in Sausalito.
Spouse had the sea bass.
Read something there, Nikki.
This hour brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX.
You know, Danny not being here today, we thought there was a chance he's going to run in. Yes, Shep is in the power chair.
The power chair.
I cannot see. Do we have a caller who wants to jump in? Is that how I read that, or is somebody just holding?
Joe from Valpo wants to talk
We'll get to Joe in a second, then. Let's not punch him in now. I haven't, promoted any phone calls, but if some people want to jump in and talk to us,
sure,
they can do that.
Talk to them.
Yeah, 312-644-6767.
That's the number. Still.
We have new gear in here, and I cannot, from where I'm standing, I cannot see that screen, and I'm not standing in the typical main mic position.
Radio has a power chair.
I'm so uncomfortable in it these days, so Shep has got that. So we'll take a few phone calls in a little bit.
Okay, we'll do that. I've realized I'm blind, by the way. I didn't wear my glasses because I thought I was going to be on the other side today when I got on the train. I can't read anything on that to save my life.
That's tough from across the room.
I can tell the score logo on the clock to the right,
yeah.
But like that piece of paper above the camera, I can't read a single word on that.
Wow.
No, I am a lot more blind than.
Okay.
I can see that, Chris. Thanks for reminding me that I'm number one. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves that comes with a $5,000 signing bonus? Go to chicagowolves.com/sprint to learn how to win the Sprint Power Play Payday.
He's Shep by Mac. You've got the score. Sports Radio 670.
Mahomes with a touchdown pass to Blake Bell. He didn't have one all season, but he's got one in the divisional round.
I tell you right now, if you look at Fisher on the left, watch the little beverage, and he's like, yes, my best Stone Cold Steve Austin impersonation, and that's true offensive lineman. Tonight, he was getting started a little early, I think. Still got a little bit more to go there, Fish.
I was going to call a hotline and see if you can do that, but I guess you can.
You can.
That immediately puts the Kansas City tackle in the Jewish Drinking Hall of Fame, doesn't it? If he's drinking during a football game. Parkins is not here to answer that question because I usually go to him when it comes to the Jewish Drinking Hall of Fame, of which Danny is a member. He can drink.
Isn't that nice?
That was fun stuff, taking a beer shower in the end zone.
That was all. I mean, if Leroy Butler was responsible for inventing or creating the Lambeau Leap, then there you go. Newest touchdown celebration going forward.
Shep,
pour a beer or two on your head.
We have a shake in Lake Forest. We have breaking Bears news for you.
Yeah, it's is it inspiring, too.
Stop what you're doing, everybody.
Yeah, according to Ian Rappaport on Twitter, sources, the Bears are hiring former Bengals offensive coordinator Bill Lazor as their new OC, an important hire for Matt Nagy after moving on.
Who the hell is that?
Mark Helfrich. That's a great question.
Until 5 minutes ago, I've never heard of Bill Lazor, L-A-Z-O-R.
Lazor.
47 years old, a native of Scranton, Pennsylvania. There's your hook.
Okay.
There's your background right there. Oh, you knew him? Yeah, let's get together.
He's a Cornell guy, or at least went to college at Cornell, was an assistant coach there from 94 to 2000.
Look at the travel on this guy's resume. This is why I root for coaches to make deep six-figure money. When you're a positional coach, when you're a coordinator, and now NFL coordinators are in the two-comma territory. They have been for a little while. Head coaches now starting to get salaries at $10 million a year or more. That is a lifestyle that is not for everyone. How many geographical moves has this cat made since 2000? Since he left Cornell to join the NFL, he started with Buffalo.
Tatanka.
Yes, with the Bills in 01. He's with the Bills for two years, then on to Atlanta for 1 year, then with the Redskins for 2 years. So there's your third move.
Then he moved up, I guess, offensive assistant to quarterbacks coach with the Redskins for another 2 years.
Wow, he got to stay in one place for 4 years.
Yeah,
then on to Seattle.
Then down to Virginia as the OC and quarterbacks coach of the Cavaliers.
I mean, he keeps for the most part along the way getting promotions, but that is a nomadic lifestyle that does not set itself up very well for having a family.
Yeah.
And it takes a different type of spouse to be with one of these guys and, families as well who have to make the move. He's 47 years old, the Bears' new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor.
Am I supposed to get excited about that?
No.
Like, he spent his last 3 years in Cincinnati, his last three seasons in Cincinnati, did not coach in the NFL this year. So 16 through 18, shake me and wake me.
We can
those Bengals offensive teams something to get excited about? Was there something going on there?
Shep, let's be the first to blame Bill Lazor for the Bears not running the ball effectively in week one.
Might as
come
well.
September.
Right? Might as well plan our flight. It's going to be his fault.
Fire the offensive coordinator. We're not running the ball well. It's got to be his fault.
That's right. Yeah,
not the, I'm the offensive coordinator and head coach.
Right.
And I call the plays, but it's someone else's fault.
Yeah, not the GM's fault that puts nothing behind a running game. Not the head coach's fault, who's the mastermind offensive genius that's hired to take over this team in this offense. It's not his fault at all that the offense sucks. And
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, so go out and run six times instead of four times next week there, Pally.
Bill Lazor's coming in here to help him fix it. They're going to give him a little bit of meatball offense. James Lofton will want to watch the Bears next year.
3 yards in a cloud of dust with Woody Hayes. That's what people want to see.
You're damn right. That's what you want to see. I don't think that we're going to get that. Does it help you? He earned his bachelor's degree in human development and family studies at Cornell in 1994. Does that do it for you?
I don't know what you do with a degree in that.
Neither do I. Apparently, you run a Bears offense because it more than qualifies you.
Continue to sully the Bears ground game.
Like this is.
Let's take some phone calls.
All right,
like
let's
we
do
said
it.
We were going to. You're sitting in the power chair.
I am
so
in the power chair.
It's incumbent upon you. You
but
got
your
the
name's the one that's on the show, so I do what Danny Mac says.
It's the Shep show today. I'm
Radio has a power chair.
Power chair.
All right, Joe in Velpo wants to talk some NFL. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys, two things. One, the first thing is I was going to bring up Bill Lazor. I saw an article a couple hours ago about him being a candidate, and I was like, might as well just promote David Gunn. Like you, Shep, I'm not really overly excited about this move. I was thinking Kafka, but I guess he was out. And then secondly, wouldn't it be nice to see Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans go into Miami, win the Super Bowl? That means Ryan Tannehill goes into the stadium, wins the Super Bowl that is – hosted by the Miami Dolphins, the team that traded him in earlier, like before the season started. And they're now they have Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen, who they traded for, but I guess don't like. So I agree. I love run the ball 30 times a game, 20-17 type games. I really don't like the whole shootout Big 12 stuff. I don't like that. So I'm hoping for a 21-17 Super Bowl type game.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate that. You got your wish a year ago. 13-3 was the final last year,
yeah,
in a year that was marked by all of those offensive showcase games. The 54-51 Monday Nighter the world loved.
Yeah, it was a Viking special last year in the Super Bowl. No touchdown scored in the first half of it. You had to love it, right?
First call we'd take. I'm not a big fan of Bill Lazor. I've been reading about this guy. We've already the Bears hire a new assistant coach, and we're 0-1 with the Score community.
Maybe he just was awesome in the interview and has these great ideas. I have a feeling something about being on the Eagles staff in 2013 and being from Scranton, Pennsylvania has more to do with him getting the job than any master plan to remake the run game does, however. I'm not optimistic.
We will get to a few more of your telephone calls in a little bit, including on today's huge baseball story. Astros owner Jim Crane dismissed manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeffrey Luhnow shortly after baseball came down hard on the Astros and suspended for 1 year both the field manager and the general manager. Additionally, the Astros have to forfeit their first and second round picks this year, 2020, and again in 2021. So Jim Crane steps in today and says, I'm taking it further. I am making a change for the better. And gone is a World Series winning manager and his GM. That's a crazy-ass story.
Yeah, crazy-ass story. And John Morosi, our friend from Fox Sports MLB Network, is going to join us about 10 after the hour.
Very cool. It's McNeil with Shep sitting in for Parkins on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.